A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time! And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series!
Did I just lose Jeff?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I was tapping the side of my computer screen, and then like one of the squares fell off. I'm like, oh no!
You shook them off.
I remember running home from school, turning on the TV to the Cubs game, sitting with my dad to watch his heroes.
Welcome to the World Series Dreaming Chicago Cubs Dreamcast, now hanging out with the guys at Obstructed View. We are not affiliated with the actual Chicago Cubs, but we're just a bunch of fans who love the local nine. Enjoy talking baseball and, of course, the 2016 World Series champion Cubs. Hello, this is Ken. With me are Jeff and Adam from Obstructive View. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good.
Awesome. Never better.
Wonderful. How come I'm the only one who sounds like he's in a submarine? I need to figure out these sound settings, but I'm not that good of a sound engineer. Anyway,
are you in a submarine?
I am not. I'm in my room.
Oh,
and I'm not sure, like, because, you know, whenever we record, you guys sound perfectly fine. And I have a mic that my son actually recommended to me. But I don't know if it's like my proximity to the mic or the way like the acoustics are in the room. But I always sound like I'm in an echo chamber. But maybe that's
Could
just
be.
me.
Are you sure you have the microphone you want selected as the
Yes.
active? All right. Well.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that could be something that I look up later and find out like it's my actual like laptop microphone and not the microphone, but I'm pretty sure it's the right one. LOL. Anyway,
you sound fine to me.
Cool. Yeah, I think this is Grammy Sunday, where we're in the kind of space between the conference championships and the Super Bowl. You guys have a Super Bowl pick yet?
Jeez.
Yeah, I don't care. Just let's get it over with. I would kind of like to see the Eagles win just for something different, but I don't think that is what is going to happen.
No, I'm much less tired of Mahomes and Reed than I was of Brady and Belichick. So,
yeah.
Oh, Kendrick Lamar is supposed to be the halftime show. I think he's more contemporary than like a Fleetwood Mac or whoever it was that performed like a few years ago.
Oh man, I would actually watch it if Fleetwood Mac did the halftime show.
I would too, but that really speaks to my age rather than like the contemporaries.
Yeah, although Kendrick and Fleetwood Mac both known for their diss tracks, so
yes, that's true.
Nice.
Well played,
nice symmetry
sir.
there.
I know a lot of people have been asking for Weird Al to do it. I don't know how that will fly, but I can't think of anybody who does not like Weird Al. So I hope that happens someday before he like really retires.
If he did, it would be a phenomenal idea to have like just kaleidoscope of different stars that he has parodied. Join in the halftime, it could be the most star-studded concert of all time, really.
Yeah, like Madonna doing the surgeon thing, and I think Eminem actually told him no music videos, but I bet he would hang out for one of his performances. Anyway, I'm sorry, guys. We are about a week out from the Cubs convention. Actually, I guess 2 weeks. It's February. Can you guys believe that? The groundhog saw a shadow and everything. So more winter, but I guess because the Cubs train in Arizona, they don't care. But anyway, there was a Cubs convention and Sammy Sosa came back and we were happy. And now we're at the point where we're about a week away from pitchers and catchers reporting for their first workout. And so what are they going to do next? Is there a way that they can actually get some interesting pieces that the Dodgers won't get? And if you also want to complain about Dodgers, I think we can do that tonight. So how's that for a plan, guys?
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it. Let's do it.
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
As the spring gave way to summer, past the ivy-colored dreams, toward the days that kept us yearning for tomorrow.
Did we talk about Sammy Sosa last week for the Cubs convention?
Oh,
We
yeah.
weren't even there last week, actually. I think we talked like we talked
Yeah,
the
we talked
Sunday
Sammy.
of the thing, so we don't have to talk about that anymore. But one thing that I think a lot of people got pissed off on about was Tom Ricketts' statements about Cubs revenue and payroll, and basically kind of doing the vape pen thing that Jeff keeps talking about, where he's like, what do you guys expect us to do? We're trying to break even here. So yeah, it doesn't.
I mean even Hal Steinbrenner is kind of trying to cry poor, so I guess he's providing cover for the Ricketts.
Yeah. In a way, I think Cohen did that with the Pete Alonso negotiation, so it's not like a Ricketts only thing, but it does seem a little tone deaf in a way. I think generally you assume that the billionaires don't understand what us peasants go through in order to afford to go to a game. But anyway, when I was looking at Cott's contracts, so like at this time, the 40-man payroll is about 180 million, but the actual luxury tax payroll is closer to 200 million. It's actually around 197.9 million. So it's quite a bit higher. I think it has to do with the AAV math as you deal with the contracts. The conventional wisdom is that they're going to stay below the 241 luxury tax. And if you guys were scouring whatever Twitter is called now, or Blue Sky or whatever, Jack Flaherty just got signed to a contract with the Detroit Tigers, so that's out.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Big spending Tigers.
And
$35
million
over 2 years.
I think it's front-loaded, so the back one is just like, you know, if something stupid happens, I guess he can opt in and grab the $10 million. But it seems like there's some injury concerns there. I don't know what's going on, but basically he's getting a lot less than we thought he would. So that suggests that something is interesting going on the background.
Yeah, that's super weird.
Yeah, I think the other ones to try are probably like Nick Pivetta, who has a QO attached. And then there's like rumors flying around that the Cubs might trade for either Michael King or Dylan Cease from the Padres, because the Padres owners are basically fighting each other in the face in the courts. And it seems like with the King arbitration deal, it's rigged so weird. Like, they basically don't have money right now, so they're trying to push some of it to the next fiscal year or something with the way their buyout situation and signing bonus and whatnot are going on. And it doesn't seem like the Padres are going to spend much more, and in fact you're trying to move salary, so that's where you see the connection with the Cubs and the Padres. You might see connection even with the Cubs and an Alex Bregman. And I can't see that happening because of the monetary issues and also like the QO. There's probably things I haven't even mentioned yet, but there are options going forward. But before we talk about the options, let's ask you guys a question. If I were to say that the Cubs right now are standing pat going into spring, are you content at this point?
Do you want to go first, Adam?
I'm dumbfounded. They won't make another move. It's fine. I mean, I'm glad they've made, you know, a couple minor moves since we last talked. And I think they probably have enough to roll the dice and, you know, maybe come out on the positive side to where their buyers at the trade deadline. But Content, sure, I'm content. Am I confident that they are going to make the postseason? Probably not.
Okay, that's fair.
Reasonably, like they have a decent shot, but not like, oh yeah, we're in position to get a first round bye or anything.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am too. They're just okay.
Okay, I think you guys have a fair reaction. Now, let me ask you guys this, because January took like 6 months and we're just in February, so I've completely lost track of time. When did they actually trade for Ryan Pressly? Because that was a big one before they decided we're going to throw minor league deals at this guy and a Nicky Lopez, who apparently is like, too not good for the literally the worst team in the majors like ever. So
I
that's
think it
why
was
he
last weekend.
Okay.
Last weekend, yeah.
Okay. So it was between podcasts that did happen. But
Yeah.
that was a big thing. And essentially now the Cubs have a presumptive closer that can compete or supplement what Porter Hodge can do. So now you're not relying on Porter Hodge to shoulder all that burden. You have like a guy who has done it before. He only hasn't done it for the past couple because the Astros signed Josh Hader, right? So the bullpen is a lot deeper. Now, given the fact that I think the Cubs have at least $20 million left to spend, so they should be able to get another reliever if they wanted. They should be able to pay for another starter if they wanted. And now it's just a matter of who's actually out there. Are they actually going to get new bench guy, to supplement a John Birdie or Bruhan, who I think a lot of Cubs fans would prefer that Vidal Bruhan does not make the Cubs out of camp, because that would kind of tell you that Nico wasn't ready and that they couldn't get anybody else, essentially.
Yeah, neither of those guys moved the needle for me. Like the only thing that I wonder is who might be filling in at third base until they promote Matt Shaw, if he doesn't just win the job out of spring training.
I think they're basically giving him the chance to open the season at third base. So
I'm kind of
that,
surprised that
yeah.
Patrick Wills or Patrick Wisdom's nine lives didn't extend to be that caretaker guy.
Yeah. Well, he's in. Did he go to Japan or Korea? I forgot. He went to Asia for sure.
Come on, you got to be more sensitive than that.
But
No,
they're both
know which
little leagues
country.
where
It's a
people can
totally
flip
different
bats.
land masses. Come
Do
on.
they flip bats in Japan? I know for sure that they flip bats like crazy in Korea, in the KBO. But I don't remember the last time I saw a badass bat flip in Japan.
Yeah, I think it's more of a KBO thing.
Okay. I guess
But
we can look that up with the all-powerful internet. Let's go to Al Gore's
hopefully
internet.
Wisdom's just kind of staring at it as he hits it 200 miles. We'll work wherever he
Oh
landed.
yeah,
But
he went to KBO.
yeah,
Awesome, good. Okay.
I'm still intrigued by this possibility that the Cubs might try to get Bregman just to continue with their theme of having guys for 1 year. This
Isn't
it
he
would
a
be
free agent, or do you mean getting him on like a pillow contract?
yeah, he's
Oh,
basically the
he
belly
is a free
contract if he
agent.
does that,
Yeah,
yeah.
I guess I was kind of picturing this scenario where he ends up doing a Cody Bellinger type deal with somebody since it's held out for so long. But yeah, I don't anticipate the Cubs signing him to a huge long-term deal, although, stranger things have happened. It's just this year feels a lot like when Sam Zell bought the team and
Did he actually buy the team or did he just take control? I don't remember.
yeah, like it was when they got Alfonso Soriano, it was just like, I want to make this team look like something I can sell. And
Yeah,
So it was just like whatever we need to do in the interest of this year is all we care about. And that's kind of how this year has been feeling ever since they got Tucker. So, I guess as long as they're just loading up on former Astros, why not one more? But it would seem weird with Sean on the cusp of coming up. It just seems hard to believe they wouldn't at least put someone different in for that, the traditional Chris Bryant Memorial standoff where they make it look like that he's not coming up just long enough to get an extra year of control.
Well, they don't have to do that anymore because if Matt Shaw wins the Rookie of the Year, they get an extra pick if he's up the whole year. And even
Or
if,
even if it's like the top three, I think you don't even have to win it.
right. So I
Oh.
think they don't that's the whole thing, right? The reason why they're motivated to do so is one, he is ready. As far as we can tell, he's smacking the ball all over the place, and he is an extremely gifted hitter, and he seems to know how to play defense even at third base. So why not give it a shot? And he's actually in like the articles as one of the most likely to contend for Rookie of the Year. That gives you the extra pick. He gets his year of control. He gets like extra money for, winning Rookie of the Year or placing, as Jeff said. And the Cubs don't get accused of shenanigans. So yeah, it's
We expect the Hoyer to be as out over his skis on Shaw as we are, that confident that he'll be in the top three of Rookie of the Year voting?
I don't know. I mean, I think the lack of a real play at third base otherwise kind of tips his hand a little bit, I think.
And I don't think it matters because at some point you got to get some kind of production out of your farm system, right? And that's what Ricketts has been building towards and Jed has been building towards. You got to get guys in your system who are within the top 100 prospects in all of MLB. Some of them have to be good at baseball at the major league level, and hopefully that's Matt Shaw. So the fact that they're giving him and PCA before him and a bunch of others like will eventually cycle up to the majors. That's very encouraging. Like you're not actually just saying, oh yeah, they're just on this list because here's a bunch of really big baseball nerds who do this stuff and they think that they're top 100. No, there's top 100 for a reason, and Matt Shaw is the top of the top for that. So
Yeah, one other
I think it's
thing
real.
I think we should bring up. Sorry, you just the void at third base just triggered something. When we first were discussing this episode, we joked about possibly acting as though the Dodgers didn't exist. But I brought up competing for that other first round bye, avoiding the wild card round in the playoffs. But I neglected to remember that the Mets have basically secured that spot for themselves with the recent signing of Nick Madrigal.
So say on the other hand, they're the Mets. I was about to say, but I didn't see what you're going with this Nick Madrigal thing. So yeah, that's some ironclad analysis. I can't dispute that
So
one.
it's yeah, I mean, we just got to kind of cross our fingers that we can make it through the wild card round at this point. Provided he stays healthy.
Yeah, it's true. Mets are really rolling the dice with this one.
Yeah. Too bad.
If I
Shohei.
were to make a bold statement, I feel more comfortable about where the Cubs are right now than even the Mets with Juan Soto.
Wow.
I think that the team as currently
Could you say that
constructed
one
has.
more time just
Oh,
to make sure I
wait.
heard you correctly?
I have a certain level of confidence that the Cubs are in better shape as currently constructed than even the Mets are with a Juan Soto.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course, I should probably look up the roster. I haven't looked at it in a while. I imagine that's the pitching situation for them hinges on whether Kodai Senga is actually healthy and, a
It's a big
couple
one.
other things. But, they don't have Verlander or Scherzer anymore, but do they you really want them because they're old and they had to go to like San Francisco and Toronto and whatnot? That doesn't really matter for the Mets. And I'd say that it probably does. Like they have to contend with a better rotation, on paper anyway, in Philly, right? And even Atlanta still has a pretty good rotation. So that's a big deal. I don't know. Like I just
Well, they don't
see.
have first base locked up yet, right?
Right,
The
they
Mets
were
don't.
having that like little squabble with Pete Alonso, and I still think Pete Alonso goes back to the Mets. So, yeah, and then I think you guys talked about Bregman. I think one of the teams rumored to have given Bregman a long-term deal, one of the better ones that weren't the Astros. The Astros are basically saying take it or leave it at their 6-year deal, and I think Detroit has a 6-year deal for Bregman. So if they sign Bregman, that's another destination that, Pete Alonso can't go to. So I think he might have to take like the 1+1 or something similar from the Mets if that's the case. So, yeah, I wonder like why certain guys are having more trouble getting signed than others. But then you kind of look at them and you realize that there are some like signs of decline that could be making teams more reticent to sign them for a long commitment.
That'll
And
do it.
then you think, hey, if they're going to go do a short-term deal like Jack Flaherty just did, would the Cubs jump in? And my point of view is that if the farm needs to be bolstered because a lot of those top 100 prospects in the Cubs system, they're at Iowa, right? And so if they graduate, now your farm system has taken a major hit. So maybe you want to keep as many of those draft picks as possible and the pool of money associated with them to reload again. And that's why you're avoiding guys like, Santander, who went to Toronto. You're avoiding Bregman, you're avoiding Pivetta and Alonso because you're just not going to give up those picks for a short-term deal. That's just my point of view.
I mean, I'd be happy to give up some of those prospects for Dylan Cease. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think that's the other way that you can use that currency for sure.
Or to a lesser extent, I can continue to grind my axe and say that they could trade for you, Darvish.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I mean,
He did help them get Roky Sasaki, so.
let's do both.
Yeah,
Can
just
we
get
get
all the
you
Padres,
and Cease? Yeah, big old reunion.
or even you and King. King might not take as much as Cease. Cease is a pretty good pitcher. And it's not like King is a terrible pitcher. I think it just really depends on who you talk to. But there's, I think, a reason Dylan Cease is getting more money in his final year of arbitration than Michael King did.
Wouldn't mind having Cease and Darvish.
Oh yeah.
And then the thing is, like, if they were to add two starters to the mix, then suddenly the bullpen would be pretty stocked. You know, like some of these, like,
You got like Asada and Boyd down there.
yeah, I mean, the options that are currently filling out the fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth and, you know, on down the line of your starting rotation are like decent for, you know, for your backup roles. Like they're pretty solid, but if those turn into bullpen arms, you could be looking at a pretty solid pitching staff and kind of scary actually.
Yeah, essentially, they just have to make sure they win the division, right? Because I don't think the wild card is coming out of the Central this year. Like the
We
Padres are
just don't
still pretty
know
loaded.
anymore.
You don't, but if you can take a look at the other teams, right? The Reds are saying they're standing pat. If you look at them right now, like the prospects are pretty good. Their pitching is probably solid. They just re-signed Wade Miley for whatever reason, you know. But do they scare you? I don't know. Pittsburgh has those like top three pitchers, right? And then if you look at their lineup, do they necessarily scare you? I don't know that either. I feel like the Reds and Pirates can be pesky. I feel like the Cardinals are probably trying to take a step back, even though they can't trade Nolan Arenado for whatever reason. And the Brewers are the Brewers. They're the team to beat until they're not, right? So
Yeah, I don't think the Brewers are very good, but I'm not going to make any predictions on how they'll do next year, despite that.
no hubris on our front.
Yeah, the Brewers have a little bit too much of the Rays in them to discount anymore. It just seems like, like they're the Palpatine of the NL Central. Somehow they return. I'm done analyzing it. It's just I just have to assume they're good at this point.
Is this a good time to just like get annoyed at the Dodgers again, or are we like
It's always a good time to get annoyed at the Dodgers.
I mean, I'm always annoyed with the Dodgers. Like this latest news hasn't really changed that. If people who are complaining about the Dodgers are like, this is more of a complaint about the other 29 teams than it's about the Dodgers to me.
Right. Because the Cubs could be spending more. Everybody could be spending more. Like the Marlins have such a low payroll that they can blow like 150 million more dollars and they still wouldn't trigger the tax, right? So it's like they should probably be spending more, but there's something inherently weird about the way the Dodgers are using deferrals, or I don't know what it is. It's
I
like
think there's nothing stopping other teams from doing this. I mean, the Blue
that's
Jays did
true.
on a Santander deal.
That is true. Like I think if you note that the CBA negotiations are coming up in like December 2026, like they that's when this current one expires and they have to like set up a new one before we lose like the 2027 season, right? So at that point, do they put a limit on how much you can defer? Do they have new revenue sharing rules? And you guys notice how like Oakland, for example, was starting to spend all over the place so that they wouldn't be hit with some kind of grievance from the Players Association, right? So I think the penalty from that is actually actionable. And I don't know why the Marlins haven't like dealt with it yet, right? Maybe they just kind of figure, okay, well, I mean, we have a payroll under like 90 million. We don't really care about the penalties. We just need to reset our farm and blah blah blah. But there is something actionable there that made the Oakland A's decide, hey, maybe we should do something to fill this 15,000 seat stadium that we have in Sacramento for the next few years before they build our thing in Vegas, right? But I think the big one that everybody's been bandying around is salary floor and salary cap. I feel like that's not going to happen
No, I don't
because
think
the
so either.
players,
But not just the players, but we were just talking about the Marlins and Pirates and these teams. They love this. It's more money for more revenue sharing money for them. So they might be resistant to it too.
And there are a lot more of those types of owners than there are the Mets or Dodgers or even the Cubs. Like the Cubs are trying to compete. They I feel like the organization, as it's built, like there's been a pretty good turnaround in the farm. You're seeing fruits of that labor. You're seeing a team that can be competitive if they just had a little better luck. So I think there's nothing inherently wrong with the Cubs, that we just need to start seeing wins on the field, right? Wins in the ledger.
Yeah, I think as long as the really young under like pretty much universally underpaid players, like when a star breaks out and he's 22, that guy is not going to get paid what he's worth, like in pure paid baseball dollars. You know, he's just not going to get the type of compensation he would be getting if he was playing that kind of baseball as a 30-year-old. And so as long as the smaller market teams are able to find those guys, you know, get those needles in the haystack, it doesn't make sense to pay someone for them. It doesn't make sense to pay somebody $35 million when you could be paying him three for the same production. You know, when it's possible to find that type of talent, there's just no explanation for spending that kind of money. And then the owners who are on the level above that, you know, the middle small to middle market teams, like the existence of those small market teams allow them to pay what they're paying for free agents, and it keeps the prices down in general. And I think this practice of deferring money, once you introduce time into the scale, it like to the extent that it's being introduced, when you're paying over not 5 years or 10 years, but 15, 20, you know, with the percentages backloaded, the ability to evaluate what that contract is really worth as a player, you lose it. I mean, I have to imagine it's difficult for an economist, especially when we have no idea if Dogecoin is going to be the official currency of the United States by the end of the week. There is no way to establish what the value of a backloaded contract really is. So you can throw around monopoly mon numbers now, monopoly money numbers now to these contracts if it becomes a bigger deal, to where the pressure to have a salary cap or salary floor could easily be alleviated if the trends for how they pay players go the way they're going. And I think that's, as long as you have, you know, this other element of the Major League Baseball owners not opening their books and not showing what the revenue is, it's a non-starter to start talking about salary floor and salary cap, because we don't really have a reliable number for how much money they're actually making on baseball alone. So it's,
Aside for the Braves, I guess, technically, since they
yeah.
do actually have to open their books.
Yeah. But even then, it's like, how open are they? So yeah, it's just, it's becoming more and more difficult to trust anybody with money at this point. So it's the kind of thing that, as long as things stay the way they are, I think that players, teams, and agents are going to continue to get creative in how they get paid. But yeah, the Dodgers stockpiling, it does kind of come out as this result of the, you know, smolusion, or collusion light, or whatever you want to call it, where the teams have just dragged their feet on way too many big stars, and LA is the place where players know I'm going to get paid and I'm going to win. Just kind of an easy call, especially if you're coming from outside the league looking in. Yeah, so that part is annoying, but it's not It's like I roll my eyes at the concept of the Dodgers, but I can't really complain about the Dodgers per se and say they are doing it in this evil way. It's not the evil empire the way the Yankees used to be. It's the cool guy table where that's just where everybody's going, and it just kind of sucks.
Well, it's not just that they have all the money. I mean, having
Yeah.
all the Japan market helps a lot, and their crazy TV deal. Who knows if that'll collapse? And it certainly happened with other teams, like the Padres. But they on top of the money, they've actually built a good organization with that money. It's not just money; they have good executives. That also helps go a long way to getting players to go there. It's not just that they're just throwing money at all their problems. They're using it well.
Yeah, I do wonder when it'll come back to bite them, but I feel like they have so much money and just there's an aura around it, like Adam was saying, that like even if they have penalties or whatever, they're still going to keep being able to attract the best players to LA, and there's not much the Cubs can do except to become the Central Time Zone's version of Dodgers. And I feel like, in a way, with the success that Seiya Suzuki and Shota Imanaga have shown, that they can kind of compete. It's just that, unfortunately, they're not the Dodgers. Like, you're not going to get the nice LA weather or be next to an ocean, even though, Lake Michigan can be pretty cool. Yeah, it gets cold here. So I guess that's part of the thing. At the same time,
Short, short of shorter flight from LA than it is from Chicago to Tokyo.
yeah, for sure. Yeah, but they also, Japan's north. It gets cold there. That shouldn't be an excuse, but maybe they just prefer to be warm because they've been cold for so long. I don't know.
A little more temperate when you're surrounded by the ocean. So, I mean, that's what I hear anyway. I've never
Yeah.
been.
I guess if you were the Cubs, how do you start competing with the Dodgers then? Like, other than just spending more? Because I guess in order for, I guess for Juan Soto, there was no way he was ever leaving New York anyway. So that's part of the rationale is like you have like a really, really disgustingly rich owner who is willing to just throw 800 million at a Juan Soto. And so there's no way the Dodgers are going to compete with that at their the way they are currently constructed, because until they find an actual shortstop and Mookie can go back to right field, they do have a Mookie Betts, right? But yeah, if you're the Cubs, you obviously don't have Dodger money, and you definitely don't have Steve Cohen money. So where's the competition there? Like, how do they get to the point where they can compete for a t Kyle Tucker that they just traded for? And hopefully, like, I think they are interested in extending him, and they do want to, but whether that happens is another story altogether.
I mean, extend him, spend more money on ops. I don't know. Like, get more good front office people, hire them away from other teams.
Scouting and development
I mean,
are.
they're better than they were, 10 years ago, but I wouldn't say the Cubs are necessarily great at development still right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a coaching thing, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like they obviously can't find the talent. It's just a matter of turning that talent into wins. That has always been the issue for the Cubs, in my opinion. It's not finding the talent, it's making getting the max out of the talent. That was their issue.
Right, it's like my old argument about trading Dylan Cease. They never would have gotten he never would have been an ace if he stayed with the Cubs. That with the organization the way it was at that time.
Yeah, it's a great parallel to the. I can't remember if we were recording or not when we were discussing Mahomes, but if Patrick Mahomes had come to Chicago if they had drafted him instead of trading up for, I don't even want to mention his name, Schmabisky, Mahomes would not be the Patrick Mahomes that we know now coming up in the Chicago system instead of under Andy Reid. So yeah, it's but th that's the part of the game that the Dodgers do that well too. But if you want to compete with a team like the Dodgers, you have to make strides in that area. You have to be growing your own stars. If you have the possibility to bring along the next Juan Soto and hold on to him, then, similar to what the Braves did with, their marquee guys early on, where they, signed them to what seemed like forever contracts, while they were still wee little babies. So if you can do that, and that, that's the other big variable, is if you can find those guys and sign them to big mega contracts early, maybe you can capitalize on their golden years while they're still with the team, rather than playing the old free agent game. The Cubs seem to like be wading into those waters with David Bodie. Didn't quite work out as well as it, things did with Acuna, but hey, they took a shot.
I feel like, you see it with Seattle and Julio Rodriguez, right? And you see it with Milwaukee and Jack Churio. And I guess if they know Matt Shaw is going to be all that, can they also give him that extension? They did something like that for Nico Horner, right? They bought out like a couple of his arbitration years. But that isn't like a mega extension. That's not the kind of superstar that you want, and that's the whole rub with the Cubs. Like, other than trading for Kyle Tucker, there is no superstar on this club. Like, you can argue that Seiya Suzuki could almost be there if he like is a full year DH and he just hits the crap out of the ball like he had been over the past couple of years, right? But it's the lack of star power. And absent of developing your own, you got to buy some on the free market. And if the Dodgers are snagging up all the superstars, now you don't have that anymore. You are forced to develop your own.
Well, first thing they can, other, aside from say trading for let's see, which completely negates your develop some guys argument, since I'm like, let's trade a bunch of prospects. If they ex could extend Kyle Tucker, that'd be great. Not sure it's gonna happen, but
Well,
that dude is a superstar, even if he is like the most boring one alive.
that is true. It's one other aspect that you just kind of look at, not to go all Steve Stone, but you talk about teams developing their roster for the stadium they play in, the conditions they play in, and Wrigley is proving to be a place that you can't really do that for. Aside from if you build a team around defense, which is going to play anywhere and everywhere, Wrigley is either going to play like a small ballpark or a gigantic ballpark, depending on how the weather is and how the wind goes. And you can't really, last year was Wrigley was a notoriously bad place to hit. And there's no telling if this year is going to be different. So unless they get really good at either, I don't know if it's because Tom Skilling is no longer controlling the weather in Chicago. But if you can either control the weather or predict it, I don't know if that's another aspect of where the Cubs need to improve, but that dramatically changes what kind of team you have, both for your hitters and your pitchers. So, it turned out great for the Cubs pitching staff at Wrigley. Should have loved it. But what's going to happen this year? We don't know.
Yeah, it's need a club that can hit anywhere, and I feel like that's really hard to do, right? Like you just, I don't know what the deal is with baseball, but you can't just force your entire team to switch it on all the time at the same time. I don't know.
Unless you play the White Sox.
Well, but just by simple math, like the White Sox should be better than they were last year, right?
I mean, the probability of history, but yeah, I don't know. They might not be.
So I don't know how much they've actually done to better themselves other than signing Mike Tauchman, but
He's the now the cornerstone of their organization.
oh, at least for a year. I guess they'll eventually get some prospects up and trade for more. And I almost feel like they'd like flip Tauchman at the deadline for some lottery tickets. And I don't know what he's going to bring back. It's probably not going to be a lot. So there's some road for them to travel before they get good again. And maybe some of it has to do with just Jerry Reinsdorf going away.
I don't know, man. That is one train wreck of an organization.
Makes you appreciate the Cubs more, right?
Yeah, I'm about to say, whatever you gotta do with the Cubs. Say at least we're not the White Sox.
Yeah, I'm just kind
Yeah.
of looking at the MLB trade rumors free agent list. There are some good arms left. I think the Cubs have signed, some extra depth for their bullpen. They've signed, obviously, Nicky Lopez in order to back up the infield, and that's a split contract. I feel like if it was an ideal situation, you don't see Bruhan, you don't see a Gage Workman, don't see any of those fringe guys on the 40 man, and you don't see Nicky Lopez on the opening day roster. If you see any of those guys, then something would appear to have gone less than ideally, right? So I
Well, I
do
can't
know.
imagine that scenario coming about.
I do
Ideal
note
all the way.
that former friend David Robertson is still available. Kyle Finnegan is still available. If you even trust that his arm will hold up, Kenley Jansen is still available. So there's that. And then there are a few lefties. I think if you feel like the vibes are immaculate enough, Andrew Chafin can be brought back. But yeah. Oh, there's a Will Smith gag that I've been bandying about. Like, how like over the past 4 or 5 years, every single World Series champion has had a Will Smith on it. So Will Smith, the
Wait,
left-handed.
oh, there's more than one Will Smith. I didn't even
Yeah, there,
realize.
there's the
Yeah,
catcher
yeah.
and then there's the
I
left-handed reliever.
thought it was just the catcher.
So the catcher was obviously on the two Dodgers teams that won, and then Will Smith, the left-handed reliever, was on the other three. And that Will Smith, not the catcher Will Smith, is the one that's available.
They really need to do is concoct some sort of elaborate con where they use Will Smith as a two-way player. And pretend they're the same person.
I don't think they look enough alike. Otherwise, it's like probably could work, but yeah.
But either one would make Chris Rock wet his pants if he heard them coming.
The beauty and the history in this cathedral, the sky so blue against the grass so green, like time stood still for.
I'm in awards night mode.
I think in a couple, actually in a month, because I think the Oscars are way late this year. Conan O'Brien is hosting the Oscars. That should be a lot of fun.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. The
Conan.
man is underappreciated in his time, but I think he could be a good host. He was a lot of fun when he hosted the Emmys. I think he also won the Mark Twain Award for comedy,
Oh, with like
which is
Kennedy
nice.
Center once, yeah.
Yeah. Last year, Sandler won. Adam Sandler. I guess he deserves it because He makes movies that make people laugh, even if we don't understand why.
He
So,
makes movies that could get all of his friends a free vacation to Hawaii.
oh yeah.
No,
I
I mean,
still,
because it's a great gig if you get it, I mean.
one of my favorite movies ever, for its own reason, is his movie Bedtime Stories, because he gives you the formula for every comedic Adam Sandler movie, which he's like, here's how you do it. You start with a hero and a girl, and this problem comes along, and that's the whole thing, and it's brilliant. So,
That's
if you
exactly
ever
how
want
he
a
talks too,
breakdown,
so that's pretty good.
oh man, we just watched Waterboy not too long ago. It's good stuff.
That's a lot of fun. I mean, his movies come on like Netflix or
Yeah, I definitely
TNT.
have a soft place in my heart for Happy Gilmore.
Oh yeah.
But Billy Madison, I super do not like. So even though they're basically pretty similar movies, so I don't really know
No,
how to explain it.
they're not that
Hey.
similar. But I think Happy Gilmore is definitely the superior movie, although Billy Madison is quite quotable as well.
There's never gonna be a line as good as "I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast." You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No.
So good.
Sure.
It's just,
Yeah. Iconic.
Shooter. Poor Shooter walked into that one. Anyway.
Yeah, we're actually starting. The Cubs do have to start earlier because they're going to Tokyo. Yay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think
That's gonna be fun. Is
yeah.
that next week?
Yes, on Sunday the 9th. I think they're supposed to report on the 8th, and then the 9th is the first scheduled workout.
Oh, I meant the
Okay.
game. I'm ready for
It should
games.
be mid-March
Oh.
sometime, I think.
Oh yeah. The game in Tokyo is like March 19th or something. There's a two game set. And
Guess I guess I should look that up before I figure out if I'm gonna go to spring training.
That would be awesome if months didn't take 10 years now.
it's been rough. It's been a rough January, let's just say. And a rough couple of days of February too.
It's
But
been fun being a quasi-federal employee.
oh yeah. Yes, I'm
Oh
sure.
no, don't tell me you're a contractor
Yeah,
who
we
gets paid
are.
through the treasury.
Do you
Oh
get threatened
Lord.
by at gunpoint to like give up the codes or something, or
I don't know. We'll see.
and
The
Oh man.
management is evaluating what they're gonna do or how things apply to us.
I
Well,
can't
I guess if
imagine.
you make bombs and stuff, you'll probably be safe. But if you're doing like actual science, you might be heavily scrutinized.
Yep.
Good luck, sir, and good luck to me, because getting a job in this climate is kind of scary now. Still unemployed, but we're getting there. Getting interviews. We'll see how things work out in this new economic environment.
Collusion is everywhere, man. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, we will survive. I guess one of the things that we could look for is whether they let Nico throw. Like if they let Nico throw by the time position players start their workouts on Valentine's Day, it's very interesting. They actually start on Valentine's Day this year, February 14th, for the position player group. So if he can actually start throwing instead of just doing like the underhand tosses or throwing in the balls in the bucket after he fields them, that could be an encouraging sign because that means he'll be more likely to be on a regular schedule, and he'll either be able to open with the Cubs in Tokyo or he won't be too far behind, like when they have to start opening day. Diamondbacks, so they are in Arizona, so if yeah, Jeff, if you want to like go like one state over,
That's
March 27th.
really nice. I why do I why does it seem like the Dodgers had that this last time where they started earlier than everybody else, played their opening day games, came back and played some more spring training games, and then didn't have to travel to their first game. But At least that's what the Cubs have waiting for them, is they can, go
So
around the world and then, not have to travel for their next series.
yeah, for sure.
I did not realize that those were actual games and not spring training games. I am super busy that week. No, wait, this is March. Never mind.
So the first Cactus League game is actually against the Dodgers. So there's two. There's a away game on the 20th, and then home game at Sloan on the 21st. So that's the first couple games starting on February 20th. And then in March, their games are on the 18th and the 19th. So I'm going to suggest that Shota will start one of those games. He might
Yeah.
even start the opener. And
Seems likely.
then it'll be like Roki and Yamamoto for the other two games. For the two games for the Dodgers. And just kind of looking at it, they have a West Coast trip starting the season. So they have to go to Arizona, which is just around the corner from Sloan, and then they head to the A's, who are now in Sacramento. So that's not too bad until they come back on April 4th against the Padres. And the Rangers. So
Have they figured
that's
out what they're
yeah.
going to be called, by the way? The A's?
They're
Like,
just the
aren't they?
Athletics.
Oh,
They're
I
not the
thought they.
Sacramento Athletics or anything. They're just the Athletics. So even their three letter thingy is ATH, which is totally lame, but that's a very lame franchise, so that's kind of what they deserve, right?
I think while they're in this temporary city, they should be called the Sacramentos. Switch letters. I'll try and make that a thing, even if it doesn't get put on the jersey.
It'll just be SAC, right? That's what the Kings are in the NBA. Sack. You sacks of crap.
All right. Now is that for the Kings or for the O's? No.
Let's do a little of both. I think the Kings are kind of like a poverty franchise. Did you guys see that crazy trade of Luka Doncic to the Lakers? And I think tonight the Bulls actually did a three-team trade with the Kings. I gotta look that up. But
They
there's been
sent
some crazy trades going on in the
it's good to know that
uh
the Mookie Betts deal can be extended to other sports.
yeah, I don't get it at all. He's like good. You're trading your very good young player for why? I don't think Mark Cuban would like that. But I don't think he owns most of the Mavericks anymore. Like, this is one of those things where Mark Cuban would never have done this. This is like trading Dirk Nowitzki in his prime. You just don't do that,
It's like the Juan Soto trade without the return.
Or it'd be like trading Juan Soto for Mike Trout in 2025.
But yeah, the Bulls unloaded Zach LaVine, and now he's reunited with DeMar DeRozan.
Well, good luck
So,
to those guys. The
yeah,
Bulls
they'll need it.
are disappointing. The Bears, at least, are having some fun, and I hope the Cubs can join them in said fun this year. Because right now it's just like fun on paper until the NFL season starts up again and we see whether the team is any better, right?
Yeah, actually, Ben Johnson and Craig Counsell, they could be brothers. Like they look like they could be brothers. And I guess we should give a nod as a Cubs podcast to the fact that Ben Johnson has been coming to Wrigley every summer for a long ass time. His brother, back when he was graduating high school, I guess had put his name in for season tickets, and the timing worked out that when his name got called up, there was an opening, and he had the means, so he's had season tickets to Wrigley for quite a while. I mean, he's not that old, but for a long time, and so they've been coming every year with regularity. So, that's kind of That's kind of fun. But yeah, doing the inter like during the interview, not the interview process, but the press availability process, I noticed, yeah, Ben Johnson, he's not a dead ringer for Craig Counsell by any means, but they don't look dissimilar.
It's the weird white man syndrome, I guess, where you all look alike.
Yeah. Like
LOL.
they'd be
Oh.
friends with Chad Greinke, or not Chad. Chad, man,
Zach.
I'm too old and too tired to keep coming up with new names. I'm doing the
The
best I can. Yeah, I'm
problem,
still
yeah.
on Zach mode from the Bulls. Yeah, it seemed like Zach couldn't be right.
I wonder if he does have a brother named Chad. There's probably a Chad Greinke
Why
somewhere
not?
around here.
There's got to be a Chad Greinke, but
He's
and he
probably
probably
not.
doesn't look any differently from any of these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe good vibes somewhere is warranted. I just, man, I need baseball to come back because everything else is just.
It's been a very boring off season for the most part after the Kyle Tucker trade. So I think we actually need action. We need to see them throw baseballs. We need to see them do batting practice, and we need to see some game action. And hopefully everybody stays healthy. And the next time we talk, I think everybody will have been in camp. And maybe we could do like a Cactus League preview. See that there will probably be sound bites, and I'm sure a lot of the guys who live in Arizona will snap pictures and throw them on Twitter and Blue Sky and whatnot. So we will see sights of spring, and that will be very, very welcoming
Yeah.
in this current climate that we find ourselves in.
Can't
And
wait to be in
then.
the best shape of my life.
Oh yeah. And then I think it's way too early to predict how many wins the Cubs get in 2025. So maybe we'll do that a little after Cactus League has been going on for a bit, even though
103.
oh cool. I'll take the over on that one. LOL. But yeah, thanks you guys for hanging out with us again. And thanks to Adam for hosting this thing with your precious Zoom. And you can find us at obstructiveview.net. Our podcast here is on Podbean. And thanks to Richiana for the theme song and Randall Sanders for pulling the final out call from the 2016 World Series, which the Cubs won. And
A lot of people forget that.
It's annoying how many people forget that,
Including
actually.
Cubs fans.
It gets annoying. But it did happen. I got the one before I die. I'd like to get another one, but everything from here, I guess, is a bonus because I will I have resigned myself to my own mortality, and I'm just trying to enjoy what remains of this existence at this point.
Well, on that happy note, have a good weekend, all.
Enjoy the superb owl. Go Eagles, I guess, or Kansas City if you're into
Want
that.
to say go, not a blowout.
Go Meteor. I hope the commercials would be fun. I sincerely hope that they are good because sometimes you just don't know what marketing departments are thinking about with those commercials. Anyway, yeah,
Our
thanks again,
existence is crumbling.
everybody. Yeah, goodbye, infrastructure. Thanks a lot, Doge. Anyway, see you all next time.
It was more than just a game.